precious is that blood. Come on, sing it all over. That makes me
white as snow.
Sing no. Sing it real big right here.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
If the blood did it for you, I'm gonna give you 30 seconds to act like the blood did it. Come on. I wanna be like David. I'm gonna give you an undignified praise. Your blood went deep down in my sin. It found me in the gutter. And it reached way down. And it picked me up. It turned me around. I'm talking about the blood. It was messy. It was messy. It was gory. But my story was messy. My situation was gory. But the blood of Jesus. Somebody say it still got power. Woo! High five your neighbor and say it still got power. It'll still save you. It'll still heal you. It'll still redeem you. I don't care what your story is. The blood is strong enough for it. I'm living proof the blood can redeem. Somebody give a praise if you know about the blood. It still works. It still works. Some of you can testify. It still works. I was about to lose my mind, but it still works. Y'all better stop. I'm standing because of the blood. I'm saying because of the blood. I still got joy because of the blood. I still got peace because of the blood. My home is still together because of the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood. It still works. Somebody in here better give them praise for it. And I come to let every devil know that's been coming against you, every situation that's trying to hold you, it can't do nothing with you, because we're dripping in the blood. I said we're dripping in the blood. Every attack, every missile, every witch, every warlock, they gotta meet the blood. Y'all better stop. Cause when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Now, y'all come down, y'all come down. But sometimes all it takes is a memory. All it takes is one memory. Think about when you was about to let everything go. Think about when you didn't deserve his mercy and grace. But the blood of Jesus. If you're gonna praise him, go ahead and get it out right now. Go. I'm still here because of it. I'm still here because of it. Blood, help me. Amen.
Woo.
You know, for some of y'all, you know, that's a little radical right there. I get it. That's a little bit much. I get it. But when you really been through hell, and when you really had to face depression, anxiety, loneliness, debt, sickness, cancer, and you saw God show up for you, sometimes the cute praise just don't cut it. And I'm looking at some people in here, because I'm not hyping you right now. That's flowing from you. That's flowing out of your belly. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for being so good to us. Thank you for looking out for us. Most importantly, thank you for the blood. Lord, be with us today, God. Lord, help me break this word down today, God. Lord, touch somebody in here. Heal somebody, restore somebody. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, just high five your neighbor and say, God is good. Yes, yes, yes. You can be seated. Have your seats. Give an honor to Apostle Eben. Come on, y'all, make some noise for Apostle Eben. He's not feeling well today, or his best, I'll say. So he asked me to stand in for him. But you know, when God is elevating you, the devil always fights you. But we're going to pray that nothing's going to stop him this year. No sickness, no cold, no flu, no nothing. I know that's bad grammar, but I don't care. No nothing. Look at your neighbor and say, no nothing. All right. Giving honor to the first lady over here. Amen. I can't mention her without mentioning my lady. That's my lady right there, Kayla. Amen. All right, I got to get into this word because y'all cutting up today. I think y'all had some Jesus this week. Amen. It need to snow more. They said, listen, we missed last week. Let's get a praise in today. Amen. So listen, let's turn to 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. It's a very familiar passage. It says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and will heal their land. Apostle is starting a new series called Aligned Hearts. It's talking about the power of one. And today I want to start this series off with a sermon entitled Back in Order. Somebody say back in order. Amen. Let's get into this. Listen, I'm going to start with a confession. I got a confession. I'm officially old. And before you judge me and tell me that I'm not, let me tell my story. When I turned 41, my wife Kayla, who is incredibly thoughtful, intentional, and creative, woke up happy on my birthday. That's how I knew something was up. She had planned a scavenger hunt for me. She gave me addresses. She told me where to go. She told me everything had already been paid for. That sounds good, don't it? So I'm driving around like, oh, this is about to be good. Because if you know my wife, Kayla, you know that she is thoughtful and she is very intentional. She doesn't do random gifts. So as I'm driving around, I'm curious. I'm excited. I'm expecting something special. I pull up to the first location and I just started laughing. because my first birthday gift was a chiropractor's office. I said out loud, oh, I'm officially old. Not shoes, not clothes, not even a watch. A spine. Y'all, I didn't even walk in. I actually limped in. 41 years old, limping into my own birthday gift. The doctor greets me and says, hey, let's take some x-rays. Now listen, I was in real pain, y'all. I really was. I had a Mike Tyson moment. The doctor asked me what's wrong. I said, it's my back. My back is broken. Not for real, but listen, I was in so much pain, I convinced myself that it had to be broken or something. He pulls up the x-rays and he points to my lower back and says, your L5 disc is misaligned. He says, brother, you are in bad condition. However, this is still correctable. And that's the part that caught me. Not broken, not destroyed, just out of alignment. So I asked him, I said, how did this even happen? He said something that changed the whole appointment. He says, lower back pain doesn't always mean the lower back is the source of the problem. He said, in your case, the issue came from somewhere else. Then he asked, do you work out? I stuck my chest out because I finally been back in the gym a couple of weeks. I said, well, actually I have. I'm pretty faithful at it. I told him I was lifting too much weight with improper form. And because my posture wasn't right while carrying all that weight, my lower back paid the price. Listen to me. And that's when it hit me. Some of us are hurting in one area of our life, not because something is broken, but because something is misaligned. You felt the pain in your marriage, but that isn't the issue. You felt it in your emotions, but the root was way deeper. You felt it in your faith, but faith wasn't the failure. It's just that you've been carrying all that weight with an improper posture. Because the truth is, misalignment limits movement before it ever causes collapse. And just like my back pain restricted my range of motion, some of us in the body of Christ are restricted, frustrated, and strained, not because God is absent, but because something in us is out of order. So today, I'm not talking about what's broken. I'm talking about what is misaligned. Because when alignment is restored, movement returns, strength returns, peace returns, and what felt permanent turns out to be correctable. You see, when our core alignment with God is off, we feel the pain in other areas of our life. Not because those areas are broken, but because they're overcompensating for what is out of order. And the big idea of this sermon today is that you cannot properly align with others if you are not first aligned with God. So, point number one. If you're taking notes, misalignment always flows downstream. Somebody say always. Misalignment always flows downstream. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart for everything. Say everything. I mean everything, 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 everything you do flows from it. Now, notice that the scripture doesn't say some things flow from it. It says everything. That means your marriage flows from it. That means your emotions flow from it. That means your attitude flows from it. The level of prosperity that you end up having still flows from your heart. Everything flows from it. And there are some people right now that have probably said to themselves, I'm done with church. I'm done with church people. Anybody ever said that? Y'all remember that little boy said, I'm sick of this church. I'm sick of this church. Some of y'all are done with church. Some of you are done with church people. Some of you are literally giving Word of Truth your last chance. Can I tell you that church is not the problem? You may feel the pain in church, but it's not the source of the problem. Some of you are ready to walk away from some marriages right now. But can I tell you, you're feeling the pain in the marriage, but the marriage is not the source of the problem. And some of us are about to limp away from the will of God because we won't allow God to fix the core. Hear me when I say this. Misalignment isn't always rebellion. Sometimes it's a drift. And this is why I need to tell you, because the moment we hear misalignment, we start thinking, well, I ain't smoking, I ain't drinking, I ain't cheating, I'm good. Nah, not really. Misalignment is all about your posture with God. So therefore, some of us are drifting by not praying the way we used to pray. Some of us are drifting because we don't even fast until it's a corporate fast. I can't talk about you, but for me, a verse a day don't keep my demon away. I need more than that one little verse. That verse don't do nothing for the devils I have to face. If you still facing them, be grateful. I'm facing some other stuff. I need a passage. I need revelation. I need something deep. I need something that is engrafted. And so misalignment doesn't always look like something major. Sometimes misalignment is not doing what God told you to do. It's not necessarily a sin, but it is a weight. And sometimes we'll check out of a sermon like this because we know we're not in sin. But God is telling me to tell you, you may not be in sin, but you may be holding on to weight. And the Bible says to lay aside every sin and the weight that so easily besets us. So sometimes it's a drift. You didn't walk away from God. You just stopped centering him. And I'm here to let you know that even a drift will jack your back up. And this is why I believe that God has Apostle starting this series, because this series is going to impact those who are married. This series is going to impact those who are single. This series is going to impact people who are just members of this church. But this is why we need a strong word today. And I believe that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces between the soul and the spirit, the bone and the marrow. And that's why Apostle is coming with a strong word. I don't know about you, but when you are facing the devils that I have to face, I need a strong word. Have y'all not been hearing these sermons he's been coming up with? Talking about the altar, bringing your idols down, casting them down. That's a strong word. And when you got the strong holds that some of us have, we need a strong word. Somebody shout, I need a strong word. If I'm going to keep my mind, I need a strong word. If my family going to stay together, I need a strong word. If I'm going to see this elevation and manifestation, I need a strong word. And I need for you to hear me, because you cannot massage what is misaligned. You ever had a crick in your neck? I'm talking about a real one, though. I'm talking about that real crick that you be like, what happened last night? And somebody so nice, so sweet, they come and try to rub it for you. And you be like, that ain't helping. Because you cannot massage what is misaligned. My wife knew better not to send me to the masseuse. She properly diagnosed the situation. And sometimes we are looking for a massage when we need an alignment. And that's why across America now, you feel that word of God getting stronger, don't you? You feel it getting stronger. It's no longer weaker across the globe. You know why? Because the pain pills don't work no more. I'm popping pain pills, but the issue is still there. My disc is still out of alignment. And although my nervous system has been tricked to feel like it's better because I've been popping a pill, it wears off at some point. That's why the weed wears off. That's why the drink wears off. That's why the high after good sex wears off. Why? Because it's a pain pill that you're popping, trying to get over something that only God can fix. Only God can correct. Only God can handle that. In this season, a massage is not going to work for what's misaligned. Somebody say, I need pressure. This is the season I need pressure. Don't be rubbing on my neck. Don't tell me what I want to hear. Tell me what I need to hear, because I'm tired of the pain. And the pain is bothering me. The pain is causing me to not have full range of motion. I can't do the things I used to do because I'm no longer in that place of alignment. Don't be massaging me with no word. Now, I'm saying that today, so y'all keep that same energy when Apostle come back next week. Remember, I said it first. He can't massage what's misaligned. I need pressure. And this is the season for me, personally, that if you want an opinion of mine, if you want to hear the truth, don't come to me if you're not willing to get that pressure. Don't tell me you about to do something and you about to do it, you about to do it, you about to do it. Because if you tell me, I'm going to apply pressure. Some people can just massage you and say, oh, you're so good, you're so good. No, I need the person that's going to apply pressure. Look at your neighbor and say, apply pressure. Now, some pains just will not go away just because they rubbed you with some oil. See, I know some churchy people. Y'all got it. Y'all got it. And that's what we do sometimes. We jump in lines. Anoint me with some oil. And we expect that rubbing of the oil on our head to fix something that is deeper than just my head looking like some olive oil. I need more than oil on my head. I need alignment and I need pressure. Hold me accountable. Check me when it's time to be checked. Correct me if I'm doing something wrong. I don't want to be out here looking like a fool. I want somebody to say, don't do that. Don't do this. Go this way. Why? Because if I can get clarity, I can gain speed. I can gain momentum. I don't need to be massaged right now. I got Kayla for that. I need pressure. Woo! Somebody shout pressure. And let me be clear about this now. Because the pressure from God is not punishment. Old school church made it feel like punishment. It's not punishment. It's correction. He's not trying to crush you. He's trying to realign you. And for those who are brave enough to get on the table and tell God to work on me. Those are the ones that's going to be healed. Those are the ones that's going to be restored. Those are the ones that's going to be elevated. Those are the ones that's going to see manifestation because they're not afraid to get on the table and say, work on me. Work on me. I am here because I need you to work on me. Now watch this. The chiropractic table equals spiritual submission. I need you to go there with me. Imagine me going to the office, and there's the table. The chiropractic table is spiritual submission. Why is that important, Pastor Napoleon? Because you can't be corrected while standing in control. Come on, somebody. I said you can't be corrected while standing in control. I want you to hear this. When I went to the doctor told me what to do. But that's not how we treat God. The doctor told me what to do. But what we do with God is we tell God what to do. All right, now, God, you can touch me here, but don't touch that right there. God, you can lead me in this area, but don't lead me over that area. Lord, I love it when you say stuff like this through the word of God, but don't talk to me like that. You're talking to me harsh. We have more respect for the chiropractor, naturally, than the one who created the chiropractor. So the doctor said, all right, I need for you to do something, and I want all of the people in here who have prophetic ears to hear what I'm saying, but also what I'm not saying. Did that make sense? The doctor said, lay face down. He said, I can't fix what I need to fix if you're still standing up. The only way I'm going to align and get that pain out of your back is if you lay face down. And I believe what God is saying to his church right now is to lay face down. Get on your face before me. Lay prostrate before me. Get into my presence. Some of us are standing too tall in his presence. When you really get into his presence, you got to learn how to lay face down. This is the season I'm seeking presence. This is the season I'm seeking his face. Lay face down. And let me tell you this, alignment will always cost you something. It will cost your pride. It will cost your comfort. It will cost your control. It will cost your convenience. And this is why most people would rather manage pain than to submit to correction. I don't know why we like this. We feel the pain and won't go to the doctor. If raise your hand in here if you ever been like that. Amen. You see them hands? It was some more hands supposed to go up, but I ain't gonna bother you. Why we like that? We would rather manage the pain privately than to go somewhere and admit I'm hurting. Because we are too afraid of what we might find out. So we'd rather manage the pain in private and live in ignorance and in pain than to take the time to humble ourselves, give up control, and lay face down so that somebody else can fix what we are dealing with. My God. That leads me to point number two, seeking God first. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. I need you to see this. Jesus didn't say seek everything and hope God shows up. Why we make Jesus the last choice? Why is he our last resort? He the last phone call. He says, if you want me to fix this, I need you to seek me first. Why? Because order determines outcome. Somebody shout, order determines outcome. My God. When God is not first, peace becomes fragile. Relationships become strained. Patience becomes impossible. Not because God left, but because order shifted. I start losing my peace when I put Jesus last in line. I lose my peace when I put him second in line. And some of us want goodie points just because we show up on Sunday. We can show up on Sunday, but we can still not show up Monday and read the word. What good is it to show up Sunday, get worship, and Monday don't read? I know it's hard. I get it. I get it. It was hitting me too. God never said only seek the kingdom. He said to just seek the kingdom first. My job is I seek, he adds. I seek, he adds. I seek, he adds. Seeking first the kingdom simply means God's will first. Trusting that God will handle what you're worried about. Now watch this. When God showed me this, I was in my house by myself, and thank God Kayla did not find me because I was having a happy-go-lucky moment by myself. God says, Pola, when I am your priority, that's when I become your provider. When I become your priority, that's when I become your provider. And the problem is we want Jireh, but we don't want Lord. Bail me out. Bail me out. Give me the money, but don't show me how to tithe. Heal my body. Heal my body, but don't correct my eating habits. Woo! Be shalom. Be shalom, but I won't leave these crazy friends I'm connected to. They messing up shalom. Shalom is present. They still present. And that's the problem. Both of us can't coexist at this. Somebody got to go. All right. Point number three. I told y'all I'm not trying to preach today. Y'all pushing. I ain't doing it. I want to teach this. Number three. When God isn't center, life loses balance. When God isn't center, life loses balance. Look at Isaiah 26 and 3. You will keep in perfect peace those whose mind are stayed on you. Now hear me. Peace isn't the absence of problems. Peace isn't the absence of problems. It's the result of proper focus. You mean to tell me that I can have peace today if I just shift my focus? And I am telling you, yes. As long as you look at the issue gets bigger and bigger and bigger. But when you start looking at the person who can solve the issue gets smaller and smaller and smaller. God himself is bigger than anything you can ever face. The problem is we keep focusing on the issue. How do we do that? Listen to your phone call to your homegirl. Bring. Girl, look what this man done did. Issue. Versus going to God saying, God, I don't know what you're doing in this season, but whatever you're doing, grow me, mature me, use this to work something out of me. I thank you that you'll never leave me. You'll never forsake me. Yes, it's a hard season, but you are a big God. I thank you that you're always present. You even said that even if I make my bed in hell, you'll be right there. That's how you fix your focus. You don't look at the problem. You look at the problem solver. Now, I need you to hear this. When he says, I will keep you in perfect peace, the hood version of me just came out. So I kind of want to make my own commentary. I really want to call it like hoodology. That would be kind of dope, right? I'm pretty sure there's a market for it, right? When he says, I will keep you in perfect peace, what that word is simply meaning is shalom, shalom. Perfect shalom, peace, shalom. What God is actually doing is he's doubling down on it. God is literally saying, I will give your peace, peace. I'm not just going to give you peace. I'm going to give your peace. Because peace is a guard that stands outside of your heart and your mind. And it's warding off all of these things that are coming. Even the guard going to have peace. The thing that's guarding your mind and your heart is chilling. Why? Because that peace is of God. And when that peace comes from God, it's unshakable, it's unbreakable, it's immovable, it's unchangeable. It is something that is real, it is grounded, it is strong, it is true. And that's why the Bible says that there will be peace that will surpass all your understanding. Why? Because my peace got peace. I just buried somebody and I still got my joy. How is that? They just dumped me. They just disrespected me. They just left me out of nowhere and I'm still here in my right mind. How is that? I just lost my job with this type of taxing on groceries and I'm not losing my mind. Why? Because my peace got peace. Look at your neighbor and say, my peace got peace. Shalom, shalom. Complete peace. Wholeness of peace. I am all together, put together because this is complete peace. This is the peace of God. Not the peace from alcohol, drinks, vices. No, this peace is something that you can't see, but it is very present. And he makes us a promise. I love this one. He says, if you would just keep your mind on me, then I will keep your mind. You got it. I didn't want to say that one, churchy. I wanted you to get it. He says, if you would just keep your mind on me, then my job is just to keep your mind. But I'm about to lose my mind. It's because it's not on him. Everything in him is yes and amen. The blessings of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. You better go. You better get some word inside of you. He says, if you just keep your mind on me, if you be like Peter, I know the tempest is rising, but if you can just focus on me, I promise you, I will not let you drown. Why do we feel like we will be the first person in the Bible, in the world, in the history of mankind that God stopped being God with? Woo! What kind of pride do we have to think that God's gonna fail us when he didn't do it for Abraham, he didn't do it for Sarah, he didn't do it for David, he didn't do it for Elijah, he didn't do it for Hannah, he didn't do it for Esther, he didn't do it for Ruth, he didn't do it for... Come on, somebody. Why is he gonna fail me now? Who am I that I'm gonna be written in the new book? Look at your neighbor and say, he won't fail. That's why when I sing that song, I sing it with everything inside of me. Because I have tried him and I know it to be true. He won't fail. I don't know how, I don't know when, but one thing I am certain of. He won't fail. That's why I got joy in the middle of the storm because he won't fail. Somebody praise him like you know he won't fail. If you keep your mind on me, he says, I'll keep your mind. Because you will never lose your balance when God is at the center. You know, I hear a lot of them things that the old folks used to say, and now I finally get it. And I'm kind of mad. Because I thought I was smart. But the more you know, the more you realize you don't know. The old folks used to say something like, I may bend, but I won't break. What they was really saying was, you will never lose your balance when God is at the center. And that's why the verse says that now unto him who is able to keep you from falling. Look at your neighbor and say, he'll keep you. If you want to be kept. See, them old folks said stuff. They really said stuff that was dope. But I'll be like, that's so churchy. That's so stupid. That's so cliche. No, he says, I will keep your mind if you want your mind kept. And this is a season that I want to be kept. I done lost it in 25, 24, 23, 98. I can keep going down all them 40 years. I lost it, but I don't want to lose it no more. God, keep my mind, and my mind will be stayed on you. He's able to keep you. But when the mind drifts from God, anxiety increases. Irritability shortens the fuse. Reactions speed up. And this is not weakness. This is misalignment. But this goes to point number four. Point number four is order is restored by posture before it is seen in results. I want y'all to see this. Order is restored by posture before it is ever seen in results. In 2 Chronicles, look at this verse again. If my people, which are called by my name, look at this, shall humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then, after what? After all the order. And what we are asking God to do is heal the land, but we're not submitting to the order. Woo! Fix my home, but I'm not submitting to the order. I want my marriage to work. When's the last time y'all prayed together? Is it too? Come on, somebody. I want a good man, but why did you find him there? I'm not trying to be, I'm not condemning, I'm just asking a question. Let's have a conversation real quick. Let's have a conversation. How did this relationship start? Let's be honest. Was it with prayer? Come on, let's talk. Let's just talk real quick. Because we blaming the devil. And some things are not the devil. It's misalignment. And misalignment is causing bad decisions. And that decision broke me, not the devil. Where is the church of God in Christ? My decision did that, not the devil. Because I tried to do something out of order. Listen, I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching to you because this has already hit my life. Lived it. Got the scars to prove it. You got time? Let's go out to eat. I'll tell you all about it. This isn't judgment. This is me saying, been there, done that. And what God needs from some of you out there is to tell your story too. Why? Because many more people are going to be misaligned if they don't hear that you too have been misaligned. Listen, misalignment doesn't make you a bad person. I want y'all to tap in with me. Misalignment doesn't make you a bad person. Hear me, brother. You're still a good man. Listen to me, sister. You're still a good woman. I don't care what the problem was. I don't care what they have on you. I don't care how much dirt is in your past. It's in the past. You're not broken. You're not destroyed. You are just simply misaligned. You don't even need a new bag. You just need to tend to the one you have. I want you to notice something. I didn't have to have surgery. I want you to know something else. I didn't even have to make my own appointment. My wife saw my limp. And some of us think just because we haven't said it out loud that I'm hurting, that others can't see our limp. We see your limp. But the limp didn't disqualify you. The limp didn't disqualify you, sir. The limp just caused some pain, and the pain is an indication that you need to lay face down and let the doctor do what only the doctor can do. And this is where I believe that we as a church have to take the judgmental hat off. Because if we think that people are going to come in here and be honest about their life and watch us sit back with our pious self like we have never missed the mark, they'll never get a line if we don't create an office that is beautiful and appeasing and somewhere they can be vulnerable and we can ask questions. How did you get here? What happened? How did your story turn that way? And they're not afraid of their business being shot and blasted all around the world. Sometimes the church is the worst place for people to be vulnerable. I got some news on you. That's why John 3:16 exists. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son for us, jacked up and all. And right now, what I want you to do is, I want you to hear this. I want you to hear this. God does not start with healing. God starts with posture. My back doesn't get healed until I get into proper position. Humble themselves. Posture of surrender. Pray. Posture of dependence. Seek my face. Posture of focus. Turn. Posture of correction. God doesn't start with the land. God starts with the heart. And when hearts get aligned, environments get healed. You want your home healed? Get in alignment. You want to save that marriage? Before you ask her to pray, how about you pray? Lord, I'm off. I got off. I messed up. God is heavy on me. As a single, I don't have anyone yet, but Lord, this time I'm just going to make it with you. I'm just going to be with you. The first thing I do when I wake up now is I get in my word. But it ain't always been that way. Even as a pastor, it hasn't always been that way. Sometimes I got up and the first thing I tried to see what they were saying on TMZ. Yeah, y'all chuckle because y'all do the same thing. And TMZ been TMZing lately. All kind of news just coming out. I used to get on Instagram and start scrolling. Watch this. And then I graduated to the next level of disobedience. First lady, I graduated to the next level of disobedience. Now, I'm getting in my word, but I'm listening to my favorite preacher. That's better. Still not God. You see, when you're misaligned, this is not about you comparing your issue to someone else's issue, where you put yourself better than somebody else. Because here's the truth. Here's the truth. Most people want God to fix the pain, fix the relationship, fix the anxiety, fix the frustration. But God says, get back in position, get back in position, get back in position. Because order determines flow. And just like my spine didn't need medication first, it needed to be put back where it belonged. Posture tells God who's in charge. When I went to the chiropractor, I didn't negotiate. I didn't explain. I didn't even advise. I just got on the table, face down, still. Submit it. Face down. Still. Submit it. Because here is the truth. You can't outsource alignment. Apostle can't lay on the table for you. Your spouse can't lay on the table for you. Your church can't submit for you. Everybody has to get on the table for themselves. And so I want to leave you with some application today. Because what good is this word if I don't give you something that will challenge you throughout the week? So this week, number one, I want you to check your posture. Ask yourself daily, who's leading me right now? My emotions or my spirit? Am I reacting or am I submitting? Am I compensating or correcting? Number two, I want you to get low before you get loud. Now, I really wanted to preach that one right there. That would have been good one right there, Pastor Shar. But I want you to get low before you get loud. Before you respond, before you decide, before you defend, before you react, I want you to pause and pray. Pause and pray. Not even a long prayer. Not a fancy prayer. Just an honest prayer. God, put me back in order. And then number three, I want you to turn where he tells you to turn. Turning isn't shame. Turning is alignment. If God points to an area in your life, if he points to a habit, turn. If he points to a relationship posture, turn. If he points to a heart attitude, turn. Don't argue. Don't delay. Just turn. Because the truth is, my back wasn't broken. It was overcompensating for misalignment somewhere else. And some of us aren't spiritually broken. We're just carrying weight without God in his proper place. But today, God is telling us to get back in order. Right now, if you don't mind, can you just close your eyes right where you are? If you know right now that this word was for you, I just want you to slip your hand up right now, because I want to pray a prayer over you and seal this. Keep your hand up right now. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I seal this word with a prayer to say, Father, your children just want to be in alignment with you. We just want to be in your will. We want to be in right standing. So whatever it is that is keeping us from getting on the table, whatever it is that's keeping us from being worked on, Lord, fix us. We submit our hearts and our wills. We lay on the table. We are seeking your face. We're giving you permission to do what only you can do. From this day forward, Lord, help us get back in order. In Jesus' name, amen. Keep your eyes closed right now. If you